You're listening to Trust Me, You're Broke. I'm your host, Julia, a millennial consultant in banking, here to give you some tips and tricks on how to make, save, and grow your money. Let's get started. Today's episode is going to be less a tutorial, more of a story time episode, because I think it's good to have some different variety. And I think the past three episodes have been very investment heavy. So I can finally tell this story. And it's the story of how someone stole nearly $6,000 off of my credit card. So I was surprisingly calm when this happened because I think a part of me was so sure that this was going to be resolved because it's just such a ridiculous amount that happened in such a short time span. But here is that story. So one day I'm like napping, right? And yes, I'm napping. And I get this call and the caller ID is Scotiabank because one of the banks that I bank with is Scotiabank. Now I pick up and, you know, they do the regular stuff. They validate my ID and everything. And then she goes, "This is the fraud department." And immediately I'm like, uh-oh, this is not going to be a good conversation. So I'm like, yes. And she goes, "Did you make those transactions?" And there's like zero context. She gives me zero context about what those transactions are, when it happened. She just goes, "Did you make those transactions?" And I'm like, which transactions are you talking about? There's a lot that goes through my credit card. And she goes, "Was that not you?" And I'm like, well, how far back are you talking about? Because I didn't make a purchase today. And she goes, "Oh, because these transactions just happened a few minutes ago." And I'm like, wait a second, there's more than one transaction that happened a few minutes ago. And I'm thinking maybe it's some of my subscriptions that went through. I don't know. So I go onto my mobile app and I check my credit card. And at first the balance showed like a regular amount that I had already spent. So I was like, okay, it looks pretty normal. I click into my credit card and in pending status is nearly $6,000. And it was like multiple transactions of around $800 each or so. So immediately I'm in shock. And you can see kind of the timestamp was just very, very short. Like someone did this one after another within a couple minutes. So I'm in complete shock. I'm like, what the fuck, you know? So I tell her like, no, this is not me at all. Like, oh my God, I would never spend $5,000 in one day, let alone in the span of a couple minutes. And the source came from some weird like payment portal. And I Googled it up later on and it was like some weird like Middle Eastern payment, like PayPal, but like Middle Eastern version. And I'm like, okay, this is definitely not me at all. So I let her know, like, this is not me. And she goes, okay, well, that's okay. We will reissue your credit card. You know, we'll take all the necessary steps. And she says that they'll investigate and make a decision within 30 days. So they'll launch an investigation to check to see if they think it is actually me. And if they believe that it is not me, then they'll waive those, you know, transactions. And if they find that it is me, then they will call me and interview me and do all of that. And at this point, I'm like 30 business days. Like that's so slow. You know, that's over a month because it's business days, right? So I'm thinking, oh my God, this is going to take so long. But also a part of me was like, this is so beyond my regular purchasing habits and, you know, it's not even within the countries that I usually transact with. So it just makes no sense. So I kind of had reasonable confidence that this was going to get resolved because it was just so flat out fraud. But then at this point, I'm like wondering where did my data leak, right? Because somewhere, someone out there obtained my information, whether it be my credit card number or my passwords and all of that. So all of that has been compromised. And at this point, I'm like scared shit, to be honest. So immediately what I did was not only did I replace my credit card, I replaced all of the cards that I had, which was kind of a major inconvenience because I couldn't access any of my funds from Scotiabank. You know, I couldn't access mobile app anymore, but I was just scared because I'm like, okay, how much of this information do these hackers have, or whoever it is, have? So I replaced all of my cards. So, you know, if you're a fraudster out there listening to me, like, fuck you. I don't have any of my old card numbers anymore. So you can't even use my information anymore. And then immediately what I did was I went into kind of recovery mode and I changed all of my passwords. Like, I'm not just talking about banking. I changed all of my passwords across the platform. And you don't realize how many, just how many passwords you have until you go through every single platform that you're on. So I never knew about this, and maybe you guys do, but and this is only for iPhone users because I'm not sure what the user experience is for Android, but I have an iPhone. And if you go to settings, there is a category called passwords. So if you click into that, it actually shows you all of the autofill passwords or the safe passwords that you have on your iPhone. Generally speaking, I think that it's not really the phone itself that was compromised. It was more that I had maybe like 3 or 4 passwords that I was rotating between all of these platforms that I was signing up for. And I think a lot of people do that because it's hard to memorize 10 passwords. So either you only have one password. In my case, I had like 3 or 4. I can't really remember. And I was rotating that amongst all these other platforms, right? And so what I didn't realize iPhone did, because they never sent me like a push notification or anything, is that they have security recommendations. So if you click into passwords, they have security recommendations and they show you all the security risks that were found. AKA it's able to detect any compromised passwords. And at this point I see that 72 pages had a data leak or a compromised password. So I'm like in total shock. Like 72 platforms. First of all, what the hell? Like, I'm on 72 websites or apps, but also all of that had been compromised because, you know, when one's compromised, the other's also compromised. So it was kind of crazy that all of these platforms could have been hacked at once. And I don't know the technological, you know, way of doing that, but it was just like, I'm looking at it right now and it's shocking to me, right? So anyway, I recently just got the cards and they have been reissued and reactivated and all of that. And I went into my mobile app and thank the Lord, I think it has been resolved because the pending transaction has actually been removed from my credit card. So I didn't see like $5,700 or whatever it was that they tried to steal at least. So at this point, thank you so much, Scotiabank, for having a fraud detecting mechanism to just stop the transaction from even going through in the first place. So those transactions have since been removed, which, G bless, because I really, like, that would have been really crappy if I had to, like, take care of that myself and foot the bill. So it's been resolved, but it's been a real learning moment for me. And I thought I would share this story with you guys because, you know, in the digital age, this is how easy it is to lose your money all at once. So if you're someone out there and you are digitally inclined and you're using your mobile app and all of that, just make sure that you check your passwords. Especially, I think the number one is obviously make complex passwords. I always thought, you know, this wasn't going to happen to me. This is someone else's story, like someone else who's, you know, getting many, many thousands of dollars being stolen. Like, that's not my story. But it became mine. So it can always happen to you. And so please check your passwords and make sure that, especially if you have different bank accounts or if you have different platforms where your credit card information is stored. So, you know, I don't think it's realistic advice to say, make sure you're not storing your credit card information anywhere. But if you're extra vigilant, that's what you should be doing. But, you know, subscriptions or things like Amazon, where, you know, you could have your card information stored, or things like Uber Eats, where you could have your card information stored. Just make sure all of those platforms each have a different password that are each complex. And I know that's really difficult and it's going to be hard to remember, but I think you can store it in either your iCloud keychain or you can store it in a physical space somewhere. Just make sure you're not like writing it in a notepad that's like super easy for anyone to access. And just make sure that, yeah, they're unique passwords. This is like the one big lesson that I learned. Like right now, all of my platforms have unique passwords now, and they're so complex, I'm having trouble remembering all of them. But I mean, in order to prevent, you know, any of this. And also for my other banks that I bank at, which I'm not going to reveal all of the banks because I just don't want to. Now I'm like all sketched out about revealing all that information. But I'm also going to make sure I'm reissuing those cards. I just wanted to do it one at a time, just in case those card numbers are compromised as well and waiting, you know, for it to be used. So that's the kind of number one advice that I have, is like deal with your passwords. But also there are banking specific like features that you can take advantage of, especially with mobile banking, that I thought I'd share as like a lesson to this story. So number one is, I don't know if you guys realize this, but in your mobile app, your banking mobile apps, they will always have a fraud alert functionality. So depending on the bank that you bank at, there might be different ways to enable this, but there definitely is fraud alert. I would 100% recommend to, you know, enable push notifications and have fraud alerts. And fraud alerts can be things like, you know, a transaction has gone through. So, you know, sometimes we find it really annoying to see all those notifications every single time. But if, you know, in case your bank does not have as quick of a mechanism as like Scotiabank had, for example, and someone was using your card, you would be notified at least immediately. And you can say, well, I didn't use that, and fix the problem as fast as possible instead of letting it wait for a long time. Because what I'm really thankful for is that at least in their back end, they were able to flag all these transactions really quickly, like within, I would say within, you know, like a minute or even a couple seconds. And like within 2 minutes of these transactions going in, they were already calling me, right? So they had a really good process in place, but I can guarantee you some of these other banks, especially if you're banking with a smaller bank, probably would not have something as on point as Scotiabank did. So have those fraud alerts set up through your mobile app so that you can understand all of the transactions that go through your account. And then the third kind of function that you can use is called the two-step verification. And this is where when you log on to your app or your online account, and if anyone is using it from like a different computer or a different network altogether, it will go through your, like it will text you for an additional like one-time verification code. It's called OTVC. I used to complain about it. I used to be like, this is so annoying, like stop making me go to my phone and logging in and stuff like that. But after everything that's happened, I think it's the best technology ever that's been implemented, because anytime someone attempts to log into your account, it will trigger a text to your phone, and you can see that's, you know, this is a code that only you can see with your mobile number. So I mean, technically I think hackers have a way of like using your mobile number in other ways as well, but it's safer than just someone being able to, you know, go in with one password. And that's also a lesson learned for me, because I didn't have two-step verification on for Scotiabank. I had it for my other banks, but not Scotiabank. So lesson learned for me. That's probably why my Scotiabank was compromised, to be honest with you, because it was the easiest one to access. So make sure you do that, especially your investment platforms as well, because you don't want anyone to be stealing or trading on your behalf. Like that would be a nightmare to try and recoup from the investment brokerage as well. So have that set up if possible. And then another thing that I wanted to share, and this is something that I've actually seen through work a lot, is and not just through my bank specifically that I work in, but in the industry, there has been a rising number of fraud, especially to do with e-transfers. So this is something that's been on the news. It's been something that internally we have been discussing a lot as like a rising number of cases that we're seeing in the industry. And that's e-transfer wires. So what's been happening is because it goes through your email, a lot of these hackers or these fraudsters have been intercepting those email requests for e-transfers and rewiring it or accepting it to their bank account. Because what happens is for e-transfers, if you don't have auto deposit set up, you write your email, right? And then you send a request to this person, and then that person needs to log into their bank account. So whoever has access to your email is able to intercept that before you have a chance to get in and input their bank account number and receive that transaction. And this type of fraud is extremely difficult to get back. Like, the money is extremely difficult to get back because there's so many dimensions to it. Number one, was the password that you put in, you know, complicated enough? A lot of people make their passwords overly simple when it comes to e-transfers because they think, oh, well, it's just my friend. Like, I'm just, you know, sending them money, or I'm just sending them rent, and or I'm just sending my contractor money and they're just going to accept it within a couple minutes, right? It's not going to be that big of a deal. So I'm going to make my password super easy. That's number one that a lot of people kind of misunderstand. And then again, it's not setting up auto deposit that actually puts you more at risk. So if you are using e-transfers regularly to transfer money, whether it be rent or especially if it's like a bigger amount of money, do make sure that not only yourself, but the person that you're sending money to has auto deposit set up. It's a much, much more secure way of sending money, and immediately it goes to that other person's bank account. So there's no room for any hackers to intercept that. I mean, there's horror stories out there that's published in the news, and this is not with the bank that I'm working for, but with another financial institution where, you know, someone's paid their contractor thousands of dollars and they, you know, the contractor never received it, but it's saying that the e-transfer had been sent and, you know, the e-transfer was received, and they just couldn't get back the money from the bank because the bank was like, well, not our fault, kind of a thing. So in those type of fraudulent cases, it might be harder to resolve. Auto deposit is super easy to set up. It takes you like 2 minutes, and I understand, trust me, I understand. Anything more convenient and faster would be, you know, better for my quality of life. But in those 2 minutes, you can really protect yourself and you can protect other people. Plus, it's a lot more convenient anyway when you try to receive e-transfers, because you don't have to log into your, you know, account every single time, and then, you know, you have to set a password and ask what the password is. It's annoying. So just set up auto deposit and you can really secure yourself that way. And as well, this is like a real life case of how increasing your credit limit can also potentially increase the risk or the amount of fraud that you can be susceptible for, right? Because to be fair, like, I had just increased my credit limit to $10,000 and then this happened. So, to be completely fair, to counter my own argument, basically, it wouldn't have made a difference because my credit limit prior to that was still more than $6,000. So had they wanted to take $6,000 off of me, they could have anyway. So it really wouldn't have changed the situation in my case. But, you know, if you're going from like $5,000 to $10,000 and all of a sudden, you know, they can take more than $5,000 away from you, right? So that is one of the risks that you encounter when you increase your credit limit. So that is one thing that I do want to note for you. But I do think in the longer run for your credit score, it is better to like increase your credit limit, especially if you are a responsible user of a credit card. And also, if you're banking with like a major bank and this happens, like 9 times out of 10, they will resolve it for you, especially something as ridiculous as this. So don't be worried about, oh my God, like, I'm going to get all of my money stolen, because I think working at a bank, I know how big the fraud department is. Like, literally, there's hundreds of people just working to resolve these cases. So you don't need to be too worried about actually losing money permanently. But again, there are ways to proactively protect yourself. And this has been, you know, if anything, it's been just a learning experience for me, you know, because you hear it a lot, like, protect yourself, you know, complex passwords, blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, okay, but I'm pretty comfortable and nothing nothing's happened to me so far, so I'm just going to stay this way. But then it does happen to you, right? And there were preventable measures maybe. So I would highly recommend taking advantage of all of those security features that your mobile bank will have, or not mobile bank, mobile banking app would have. To further, you know, just proactively protect yourself. And yeah, this is the story of how I was just in a matter of minutes, a victim of fraud and a victim of significant dollars. And I'm hoping that it'll never happen to you, but just showcasing how easily this can happen to someone, especially in the digital age. So I hope I didn't scare you too much, but I hope also that now you have easy ways that you can protect yourself, and I will see you next week. Hope today's episode was informative and fun. If you'd like to show me some support and also want to get started on Wealthsimple today, I actually have a referral link in my description that you can use at sign up. If you use my link, you can get your first 10,000 managed for free for the next 12 months. That's an extra 0.5% savings, which, by the way, is higher than a bank's savings account interest rate. But I didn't tell you that. If you like this episode, please give my podcast a like, a 5-star review, and a follow. Also, go follow me at Wealth by Julia on Instagram for more tips and tricks. I'll talk to you soon.